Before we dive into our psalm, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for all that it offers us. I pray, Lord, that you'll lead and guide us this evening as we continue in our studies of the psalms. I pray that you'll guard my words and that you will open our hearts and our minds. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will move among us this evening. Amen. Well, this evening we continue our series entitled Songs of the Heart. Tonight we're looking together at Psalm 71. Now, if you're using an NIV Bible, then you can find the psalm on page 584. Psalm 71 is a psalm of prayer. And whilst we don't know for sure who wrote Psalm 71, many believe that David wrote it at the time of Absalom's rebellion. Now, there are a number of similarities in this psalm to others of David. Look at verse 21 and 22 of our psalm. It will increase my honour and comfort me once again. I will praise you with the harp. I will sing praise to you with the lyre. Verse 21 could refer to David being restored to the throne and praising God on the harp and lyre. In verse 22, sounds like David. Also, the circumstances in which the psalmist finds himself fit with David. We read of shame and of oppression of evil men. We read of enemies speaking against him and seeking to kill him. We read of a life of many troubles, yet we read of a man who trusted in God from his youth, a trust in God which has lasted even until now when they are old and grey. If David didn't write this psalm, then it was written by somebody older, an older man who had suffered many trials, but who had remained joyful. He was a joyful man, able to focus on the Lord in the midst of these trials. The reason he was able to handle his problems so well as an old man was that he had established a relationship with God in his younger years. This relationship he had with the Lord enabled him to be strong inside. Even though his body was growing weaker and his enemies were powerful, the psalmist throughout his life knew there was nobody else like God, which coincidentally is our title for this evening. Who is there like our God? Well, the simple answer is nobody. Nobody else has done such great things. The psalmist throughout his life developed his relationship with God. A relationship which has stood him in good stead, even during his old age. Despite the trials the psalmist still faces, his relationship with God is strong. So, what can we learn from the author of Psalm 71 this evening? Well, if you haven't already, you need to possess a relationship with God. And how do we do that? Well, there are five things that you'll need. Firstly, you need to possess a real knowledge of God. Throughout Psalm 71, we see clear evidence of the psalmist's knowledge. He has a personal understanding and practical knowledge of God. Turn with me to verse 17, which reads, "Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvellous deeds." The psalmist had been taught of God during his youth, and many of us value the teachings we've received at home or in Sunday school. Growing up and hearing about God provides an important foundation. But you can always develop your understanding of God at any age. The psalmist also knew God as his refuge, his saviour, his rock and his fortress. Look at the first three verses with me. "In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." Within these verses, we see the psalmist's understanding of God. He recognizes God as his refuge. He calls God his rock and fortress. The psalmist feels security in God. He recognizes God as his saviour. If this wasn't enough, The psalmist demonstrates his knowledge further. He tells of proclaiming God's mighty acts in verse 16. He tells of God's strength and power in verse 18, and he speaks of great things God has done in verse 19. The psalmist clearly knew his God. It is obvious that he had known him for many years. He had proved God's faithfulness in a number of previous difficult situations. He knew who God was, and he knew him in a personal and practical way. Do you know God in the same way? Are you developing your knowledge of God through his word? Are you able to use his word and apply it to your experiences? One of the most important things we can all do is spend time in God's word. The more time we spend in God's word, the more we'll get to know God. God's word can help us prepare for the trials we may face in the future. The Bible is a manual for Christian living. It provides guidance and advice. They say that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, I think that's rubbish. There's always time to learn something new. Learning never stops. One of my favourite expressions is, every day is a school day. The Bible is something we should be using every day in our walk with God. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you bake, and I'm no baker, you often use a recipe book. You follow the ingredients that are listed. You measure out what you need. You follow the method. Doing this brings about the best results. Now, the Bible should be no different. We should turn to it regularly, read it, use it daily, and possess a real knowledge of God. Let it help us. Secondly, you need to possess a real trust in God. Psalm 71 is an affirmation of the psalmist's trust in the Lord. Again, look at those first three verses. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me. These first few verses declare the psalmist's trust in the Lord. He was confident that such trust in the Lord would lead to vindication. He was confident too that he would never be put to shame. Because the psalmist trusted in God, he boldly asked God to act righteously on his behalf and to deliver him. He asked that the righteousness of God work on his behalf. Verse 3, but what it says, be my rock of refuge. Spurgeon says, here we see a weak man, but he is in a strong habituation. His security rests upon the tower in which he hides and is not placed in jeopardy through his personal feebleness. Because of the psalmist's knowledge of who God was, he was able to pray with full confidence that God would deliver him. Why did the psalmist need God to deliver him? Verse 4 provides the answer. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. The source of the psalmist's misery is revealed here. These were wicked men who were seeking the life of the psalmist. Although it appears the psalmist is struggling, his faith is unmoved. His faith is unmoved because he knew God and he believed in him. Such faith stems from a great knowledge of God. Possessing a great knowledge of God dispels doubt and fear. There is nobody as trustworthy as God. There is nobody else like him. Because the psalmist knew God, he'd learned to trust in God. He trusted God through some other tough times. Turn with me to verse 20. We read of these other tough times. Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. Because of these previous troubles, the psalmist knew that God would see him through this time too. Have you developed a trust in God during your difficult times? Are you frequently filled with worry and doubt and fear? If you have troubled trusting, or if you have trouble trusting, then concentrate on getting to know God. Think back to what God has already done for you. This will strengthen your faith. There is real emphasis in Psalm 71 on what God has done. Has God ever provided you with protection? Has he saved you from your sins? Has he sustained you this far? I'm pretty sure the answer to these three questions are yes. Therefore, you can trust God. Trust him in your present troubles and for any which arise in the future. It is essential that you possess a real trust in God. Thirdly, you need to possess a genuine adoration for God. Look at verse 8. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendour all day long. Praise is not always something that comes naturally. It's far easier to grumble, complain and moan. Now this is more natural. But God wants us to be people of praise. Even when trouble comes, God wants us to learn to praise him. The psalmist had developed a great adoration for God. We see this adoration in verse 8, but we see it further in verses 22 to 24. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I, whom you have redeemed. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. For those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. How can we learn to praise God when trials come? Well, the answer, learn to trust him. Trust stems from knowing God. So praise stems from trusting God. You can't praise a person you don't trust. A family favourite film of ours is Matilda. And in the film Matilda, Danny DeVito stars as Matilda's father. He plays the role of Harry Wormwood, a crooked car salesman. He attaches bumpers to cars with super glue. He adds sawdust to the transmission so it sounds better. He buys cars for $100 and he sells them for $1,000. He's certainly not someone you would trust. Therefore, you wouldn't sing his praises to others. It's the same way with God. If you doubt God's goodness or faithfulness when you face trouble, then you don't really trust him. So you can't honestly praise him. Like I mentioned earlier this evening, you must concentrate on getting to know God. You must remember what God has already done for you. He is good and faithful, even when he brings troubles into your life. We often forget about the many blessings he gives us. This then results in us failing to praise him. You need to possess a real adoration for God and what he has done. Fourthly, you need to possess a real strength in God. Verses 9 through to 13 read, do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him, pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Do not be far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. The psalmist knew the faithfulness of God when he was younger. Now he is asking that God continue that faithfulness in his old age. He is asking that God's faithfulness continues as his own strength fails. The psalmist knew that man's strength diminishes with old age, but he wasn't just talking about his physical and mental strength. He was also referring to his potential loss of spiritual strength. The psalmist needed the strength of God as he battled his enemies. The psalmist knew his enemies were speaking against him. They claimed that God had forsaken him and no one would rescue him. His misfortune made them think that God was no longer with him. But the psalmist called upon the strength of God again. In verse 12, he called to God to come quickly to help him. He had to deal with the fact that even as he grew older, his troubles did not go away. Despite his age, the problems remained. This is a significant test for some believers. Not every believer grows stronger in the Lord as they grow older. When we feel weak, tired and weary, we often want to give up. Don't. Because you can always find strength in God. You can trust in God. Then he will take care of you. There is nobody like him. He is an everlasting God. Isaiah 40 verses 28 to 31 reads, and it's my favourite. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. God's strength and power will never fail us. Our strength comes from God. We are weak without him. For those who hope in the Lord, their strength will be renewed. You need to possess a real strength in God. Otherwise, you'll always be weak. You are weak without him. Fifthly and finally, you also need to possess the hope of God. The psalmist clearly had the hope of God as well. Turn with me to verse 5. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. This hope has not diminished as the psalmist grew older. His hope has remained anchored in Christ since an early age. Now, the psalmist was in a serious crisis back in verses 9 through to 13. Yet he does not slip into despair or lose his strength or trust in God. We see potential harm in these verses, followed by real hope. Look at verses 14 through to 19. But as for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvellous deeds. Even when I'm old and grey, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God. You have done great things. You, O God, is like you. Who, O God, is like you? The psalmist concludes verse 19 with a question. It is somewhat of a rhetorical question. Who, O God, is like you? The simple answer is nobody. Nobody is like our God. A real hope is built upon trust in God and his faithfulness. There is no greater thing than knowing God. Sadly, we hear all too often of misplaced hope in the world. The presidential election has been a focal point this past week. Some people hope for a Republican leader, others a Democrat. Some are hoping for a change in the lockdown restrictions. Others are hoping for a vaccine to be found. You will never find hope in anything uncertain. All too often we become fixated on the problems we face. Instead, we should be focusing on God and his promises. God's people should be people who hope in God. And once you possess the hope of God, what should you do? The psalmist gives us a clue in verse 15. Tell others. He was happy to testify of God's righteousness and his salvation. He was prepared to testify of these things all day long. There are no limits to God's righteousness and salvation. Regardless of the psalmist's age, look at verse 18. Even when I'm old and grey, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Whatever your age, it's important you share the hope of God with others. Whatever your age, with God we always have a reason to be joyful. The psalmist had nothing to fear in his old age. He possessed the knowledge of God. He possessed a real truth in God. He possessed a genuine adoration for God. He possessed a real strength in God. He possessed the hope of God. Do you possess these expressions? Do you possess the knowledge of God? Is it a deep knowledge of God? If not, then why not? There's no greater thing than knowing God. I'm going to close this evening with one final thought. Actually, it's more of a final warning than a final thought. Verse 19, provides us with our sermon title this evening, Who, O God, is like you? Nobody is like God. God is the one and only true God. Our heart's desire should be to know God more. The more you know God, the more you will trust God. The more you trust him, the more praise you will give him. The more you praise God, the more strength you'll find in God. And the more strength that you have in him, the more you'll hope in him. These expressions are all bound together in God. You'll never find these expressions together anywhere else. There is no greater thing than to know God. Amen.